Good morning, good morning, good morning. Look at you all here today. Give yourselves a hand for coming to church. Come on. And I want you to love on that worship team a little bit. Just show some appreciation for them. I got a letter from a lady named Brianne from Central New York, which I don't know if I've ever been to Central New York, upstate New York, but she said her and her mom have watched every sermon in this series on baptism, and she just wanted me to know. And so I want you to thank the people that are watching all over the country who are here watching as well. I hope this series has been a blessing to you. If you're here today for the first time, this is your first time. Anybody raise your hand and say your first time ever being in church here? Just first time to ever be here? Wow. You should have been here last week. But I took a whole month to just talk about baptism, and we had hundreds of people that were baptized last weekend on all three campuses. And I have a short video recap for those of you who weren't here. Let's watch this video from last weekend. We're gonna ask you two questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that came to this earth to die on a cross in your place to pay the penalty for your sins? If you believe, I want you to say, yes, I believe. My second question is this. Is it your desire today to turn your life over to the Lord and to make Him the Lord, the King, the ruler, and the master of your life? Get to you right there. That'll get to you. It was probably the greatest day ever in the history of our church. I want to thank all of you who helped, those of you who served, those of you who helped volunteer, the staff. Thank all of you. And just so you know that we will follow up as a church, we will follow up with every person that was baptized, and we'll give them each a baptismal certificate. We will try to enroll them in what's called the Next Steps class. And if you've never attended the Next Steps class, that's a great thing for you to do. And as always, we'll try to get them plugged into a life group so they can, as they begin this new journey of faith, that they will grow and mature and become like Jesus. Amen. I have one quick announcement, and then I'm going to preach. Easter is about 4 weeks. We're about a month out from Easter. And then 2 weeks after Easter, we're starting a fourth service. Now, currently, we have a Saturday night service at 6 o'clock. And last night, there were probably as many people last night here at 6 o'clock as there is today. This morning at 9 o'clock, hardly anybody was here. I don't know where they were. I think they were thinking about doing the marathon, and you all decided not to do the marathon. God bless you. But and then we have this 11 o'clock service. So we're going to start a Thursday night service, and Dusty's going to be in charge of that, but we'll have guest speakers. And just so you know, that it's for people that like weren't able to get to church, and you come back into town and you want to go Thursday night, it will be the same message, the same sermon series, and it will line up with everything that happens here on a normal weekend. They're going to have food trucks every Thursday night, and for the first few weeks, the food will be free. I want you to know that, just to encourage people to go. So this is about 6 weeks away, and we'll tell you more about that as we get closer to it. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 9. I've already got mine there. Turn to Matthew chapter 9. We'll be there in just a few moments. And then I want you to get your booklet on baptism that we gave you 5 weeks ago and turn to page 27. We're going to look at the last chapter of this study called How to Share Your Faith. How to Share Your Faith. I want to begin with Luke 19, verse 10, that reads, and I'll put this verse on the screen, "For the Son of Man, Jesus, came to seek and to save what was lost." The reason Jesus left heaven and came to this planet called Earth, he was on a mission to seek, to find lost people and to save them. He did not come to this earth to be a lawgiver. He did not come to this earth to be a teacher, although he was a teacher. He did not come to this earth to be a healer, although he was a healer. He did not come to this earth as a miracle worker, even though he was a miracle worker. He came to this earth for one reason, for one purpose, to save lost people, to be the world's Messiah and Savior. Last weekend, as you just saw in that video, we had close to 800 people that gave their life to Jesus Christ. But after you're saved, after you're baptized, after you become a follower of Jesus Christ, your task is to join God in this process of reaching others. In other words, God saved you, and we're thankful that God saved you, but now God calls you to his team to help save others. Behind me on the screen, I've got a little video of the San Fernando Valley. Now, the valley's made up of all kinds of little cities like Granada Hills and Northridge and Chatsworth and Porter Ranch. But if the valley were one city, just it was called the San Fernando City, there are close to 2 million people that live in this valley. And if it was one city, it would be the fifth largest city in the United States of America. Think about that. The fifth largest city in the United States of America. Most of the 2 million people, most of them do not know Jesus. They certainly do not serve Jesus. But God has called us as a church. It is our responsibility to reach all 2 million of them. God doesn't want half of them to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. It's another reason, I hope you're listening, why sitting at home watching it on the screen is not church. That's not church. You're not saving anybody sitting at home watching it on TV. Now, I understand if you're sick, you need to stay home. Somebody say amen to that. But when you come to church, that's what the word church means, an assembly. That's what it is. I know it's not a building. You don't need to write me a letter and tell me the church is not. I know the church is not a building. The church is an assembly of people who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we assemble, as we have today, how many of you made it to church? Raise your hand. You're here. God bless you all. Look at you. God gave each of you certain gifts, talents, and abilities. And as we gather, you're supposed to be using those gifts to serve, to pray, to welcome, to encourage, to help, to worship, to lead, to plant seeds of the gospel. This is the place, the church, according to Ephesians 4, where God has pastors and teachers to prepare God's people, the church, to do works of service. In other words, we gather, which we've gathered here today, to learn, to study, to be equipped. But then church is over, you're to be deployed and to go out into the world and be God's voice, God's hands, and God's feet. And so we took 4 weeks to teach you everything you need to know about being baptized. Hundreds of you were baptized. Today, we want to further equip you as you're now saved and as you're now being deployed to carry out the Great Commission, which is to go make disciples and baptize all nations, according to Matthew chapter 28. I want to give you 4 what I call motivating things that should motivate you to want to share your faith. And then I'm going to give you some methods on how to share your faith. So this is going to be great. Number one, here's the first motivation. Write this down. This is on page 27 in your book. First of all, you need to see yourself as Christ's ambassadors. And if you're new to the church, this is our theme, actually, for the entire year. We want each of you to see yourself as being sent by God into this world to do his work. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. Now, here's the idea. If you, and I'm talking about you, if you had discovered the cure for every cancer, and you had that cure, wouldn't you want to share that with the entire world and all the people that are suffering from cancer? Wouldn't you want to do that? Yes, you would. If you discovered a little vitamin, it's just a vitamin, it's legit, it's a vitamin that literally kept people from ever contracting a common cold or COVID, wouldn't you want the whole world to have it? In similar fashion, if you've ever experienced or if you have ever discovered the one door, and there's only one, if you were the one who discovered the door, one door that actually led to heaven, or the one baptism that erases all sins, or you knew the one decision that leads to true peace, or the one faith that overcomes all trials, or the one Savior that keeps you out of hell, or the one blessing that unlocks the windows of heaven to all the other blessings. If you ever discovered the one book that answers every question, or you had the one prayer that erases all doubts, or the one truth that assures you of everlasting life, it just seems logical, it just seems sensible that you'd want the whole world to have a chance to have what you have and to know what you know. Be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Number two, have an understanding of eternity. I'm giving you things that should motivate you to want to share your faith. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. So we fix, everybody say the word fix. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Most of everything you and I do on this planet is for the here and the now. We pursue instant coffee, instant pleasure, instant gratification, instant rewards, and we need to get our eyes off of the physical, and we need to start focusing on that which is eternal. I want you to know this, that there is a place, there's a place called heaven. There's a place called heaven. And there is a place called hell. Now, I know a lot of people, and just about everybody I know and everybody I meet, they all believe there's a place called heaven. I mean, go to anybody's funeral, and I don't care how they live their life, there's someone there talking about, oh, they're going to rest in peace, they're going to be in heaven, they're going to be fine. And hardly anybody believes that there's a literal place called hell anymore. And I just want you to know that the Bible is the same book that describes heaven is the same book that describes a place called hell. You need to stop picking and choosing what you want to believe is real and understand that if it's in the Bible, it's real. And heaven is just as real as a place called hell. And hell is a place that's just as real as a place called heaven. And everyone you meet, everyone you see, everyone you know, everyone you talk to will one day spend an eternity either in heaven or in hell. And that one thought, that one reality should motivate you to share your faith with everyone you know. Number three, realize the value of one soul, just one person. I mean, if we'd have done all that work and only one person was baptized, oh, it would have been worth it. Matthew 16, Jesus said these words. He asked this question, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his own soul? In other words, one person, I'm talking about one person, is worth more than all the oil in the world. One person is worth more than all the Bitcoin in the world. One person is worth more than all the diamonds in the world. One person is worth more than all the land in the world. One person is worth more than all the fame and popularity that this world could ever give. One person is worth more than all the money in the world. And yet most people are more concerned with living their life seeking fame and fortune and material possessions. And inside, I believe that many people have sold their soul to the devil, looking for the next high, looking for the next thrill, looking for the next applause, looking for the next false god. And the question you need to answer or figure out here today, and be honest, what is it that consumes you? What is the driving force of your life? What is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? Is it to chase after money? Is it to chase after nicer things or buy nicer clothes? Is it to be famous or to gather more followers? Is it to stay young looking? Because I can tell you how that ends. Is your desire to be the life of every party, to make everyone else like you? You get up every day trying to impress people. You want to be the big dog in the room. Oh, if you'll realize the worth and value of just one person coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, why every priority in your life would change. You would wake up every day with one single thought, what can I do to help reach people for Jesus Christ? Number four, oh, we should all be burdened as Jesus is burdened to see lost people saved. Oh, if you could look in the heart of God, you could see inside of Jesus' heart, you'd see that there's only one thing that really matters, and that's to reach lost people. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 9, if you have your Bibles, in verse 35. It says that Jesus, everybody say his name. I just like to hear his name. The Bible says that Jesus went through all, say the word all. He went through every town and every village. And the Bible says that he was teaching in their synagogues. Like if Jesus was passing through here right now, he'd want to stand up here and teach right now. See, we like to visit places like this. We like to go on vacation. I want to go here. I want to go here. I like to go over here because I like to travel. I go on vacation. Jesus traveled. But when Jesus traveled, it wasn't for pleasure. The Bible says he went into every town and every village, and he was teaching and he was preaching the good news of the kingdom. He was healing every disease and sickness. And when, verse 36, when he just saw the crowds. He had compassion for them. You know, you and me, when we see the crowds, oh, it's irritating. Isn't it? Have you ever been on the 405 and you're stuck in traffic and you're looking at all these people and you're going, oh, who are all these people? And where did they come from? And where are they going? And why are they going there right now? And they're thinking the exact same thing about you. It's irritating. You ever gone on the line at In-N-Out Burger? It's like, I just want a hamburger. Why is this taking so long? I told you they should have named that place. They should have never named it In-N-Out. They should have called it In, Get Stuck, and Never Get Out. No wonder they have Bible verses on the bottom of their cups. They're trying to chill you out while you're waiting for the double-double animal style. We get irritated in a coffee line. If we're fourth in line, the person in front of us orders five drinks. We're going, oh, this is going to take forever. But when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a what? Without a shepherd. And then he said, he didn't say, oh, look at all these people. I think I can network with you. If I get to know them all, I can really network and grow my company. And that's not what happened. Look at all these people. I wonder what they can do for me. No. He had compassion on them. And here's what his prayer was. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You tell me. If Jesus stood right here and he looked across the San Fernando Valley with some 2 million people, the fifth largest city in America, if it was a city, you tell me what Jesus would say. He would say the same thing that he says in this verse. He would say to us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And here's what you need to pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Oh, I thought about this many times. If Jesus lived here, if he lived here in the San Fernando Valley, if he lived in the city of Los Angeles, his eyes would be weeping over the lostness of this valley. His heart would be breaking for all the sheep without a shepherd. His feet would be moving towards those who have been disenfranchised and disillusioned. His hands would be reaching towards those who are without hope. His focus would be lasering in on helping those who are addicted and helping those who are imprisoned. He would not be posting all the things that we post on social media, which basically has nothing to do with reaching lost people. His fingers, Jesus's fingers, he would be pointing to the only thing that can save people. He would be pointing to his nail-scarred hands. His compassion would be calling out to those who are harassed and hopeless. His love would be wooing and pursuing all mankind. And his voice, he would be begging for all who live here to come and be saved, come and find peace, come and find joy, come and find forgiveness, come and find everlasting life. And then he would say, come and help me and join with me in trying to reach this city for Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I'm not pushing this book, but if you've never read this book, it's on page 33. If you've never read the book Compelled, you need to read this book. This is an entire book that kind of talks about the last four things that I just shared. The entire book helps motivate you. You don't have to find someone who has it and just pick it up and read it and let God stir your heart and give you a passion to and a desire to share your faith with other people. Amen. Now, I want to give you some quick methods on how do I share my, listen, imagine if in the next 7 days, every single person in this room, imagine if every person in this room, the next 7 days, you led someone to Jesus Christ and you brought them with you here next week. Well, we'd be sitting on each other's shoulders. We wouldn't have 800 baptisms, we'd have 8,000 baptisms. Let me tell you, let me give you some methods. So here's the first one, write this down. First of all, share your personal testimony. That's the easiest. And there's three bullet points there. You just tell people what your life was like before you got saved. Then you tell them how you got saved. And then you tell them what your life is like since you've been saved. Now, if you can't tell people how you got saved, you might not be saved. Now, everyone here, you have no problems. I got no problems explaining how I used to live. You all know how to do that. You can all explain what your life used to be like. It's not a problem. But then you got to share how did you get saved? And if you can't articulate that, you might want to think about coming forward and giving your life to Jesus today so you have a story. And then you explain what your life was like since you've been saved. That's called your personal testimony. And what you need to do, first of all, is just write it down. That's step one. Just write it down. Get three pieces of paper. And on the first page, just write what your life was like in your own words. You all have your own history. Just write down what your life was like. And then, secondly, take the second page and write down exactly what happened. Well, I was at work and some guy invited me to church and I showed up. I didn't like it. I didn't come back for 6 months. And the guy was crazy. He's half crazy and I don't like singing songs. But I kept going back and there was something about it. I started liking the sermons and I learned more in one sermon. I learned my whole life. So I decided to come back. And one day, I can't explain it to you, but God spoke to my heart and I stepped up and I came forward and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Well, whatever it is, you write it down. And the third page, you write down what's happened in your life since you got saved. Now, here's what you do. This is easy. You write it down, then you read it, and you read it, and you read it, and you read it until you can say it without looking at the paper. And you just witness to your dog or your cat, and just tell your dog the whole story. Tell him what your life was like. He doesn't care anyway. The cat kind of lived that life itself anyway. But then you explain to that dog how you got saved, and you explain to that dog what happened to your life since you got saved. Then you go to the mirror, and you talk to the mirror. You just tell the person in the mirror. You kind of convert yourself. You tell the story until eventually you can just tell the story. And then you get to where you can tell this story to anybody with your eyes closed. And the next time someone comes up to you and says this, "Hey, how you doing? What'd you say?" "I said, how you doing? Are you asking me?" "Yeah, I just want to know how you're doing." "Do you really want to know?" And if you say, "Do you really want to know?" what will they say? They'll say, "Yeah, I really want to know." "You really want to know?" "I got to tell you." And you just tell your story. "My life used to be so jacked up. I woke up every day. I was depressed. I was discouraged. I was lost. I was broken. But one day, someone invited me to that church or sat down, I watched whatever. You explain, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I just want you to know, since you're asking me how I'm doing, ever since I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I feel God's presence with me no matter where I go or what I'm doing. I got no worries." It's easy. Number two, write this down. Share the Roman road. The Roman road. The Roman road. So what in the world is the Roman road? Well, it's where you take someone through the scriptures, you take them through the scriptures, and the whole journey is through the book of Romans. So in your notes, you've got five different passages is called the Roman Road. Now, why is it called the Roman Road? Well, the book is called Romans, but there was a guy named Paul the Apostle, and the big city back in those days was Rome. And you know, today you've got LA, you got New York, you got Tokyo. There's some big cities in the world. Back in that day, the big city was Rome. And Paul wanted to go to Rome, not so he could post pictures of himself on vacation. Paul wanted to go to Rome so he could witness, so he could share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the book of Romans is a book that he wrote, a letter that he wrote to the people who lived in Rome. That's why it's called Romans. And so what you do is, if you can find anybody who'll give you the time of the day, you take them through what's called the Roman Road. You just take them through these scriptures. You say, well, Pastor, I can't memorize all this. You don't have to memorize it. Well, how am I going to lead them through it if I don't know it? Oh, I'm glad you asked me that question. What you do is you get your Bible, and all you have to remember is the first one. It's called Romans 3:23. I'm going to show you my Bible. I've got it on the screen right there. And you just highlight that in your Bible. This is Romans 3:23. And then you underline what's most important, what you want to teach. And for this verse, it's all have sinned. And so you share that with someone. And you say, you know what the Bible says? It says that all of us have sinned. Do you know who all is? And they say, everybody, yeah. And you just say, have you ever sinned? And they'll say, oh yeah, many, many times. Oh, so it's true. Yeah, yeah. Well, you think I've ever sinned? Yeah, probably. You think the pastor has sinned? Oh yeah, I'm sure he sinned a lot, okay. You think all politicians have sinned? Oh yeah, politicians sin all the time. Sometimes I'll even say, do you think the Pope has ever sinned? I mean, ever in his whole life? They gotta think about it. I just say, who? You think Arnold Schwarzenegger's ever sinned? Yeah, he sinned. Yeah, you think Tom Cruise has ever sinned? Yeah, because the Bible says all have sinned. Now what is sin? And you just explain what sin is. You're explaining what's underlined, all have sinned. And you get them to understand that that's true, that the Bible is true. Maybe the first time they've ever looked at the Bible. Now look over in the lower left-hand corner. You see that red lettering? What you do is you write in the margin of your Bible, go to chapter 6, verse 23. So you look at this, you go, oh, let's go to chapter 6, verse 23. And you flip over there. And it says that you just said that all have sinned. Now the Bible says that the wages of sin is what? Death. And so you explain. You just explain what that says, that the wages, the penalty, the result, the consequences of our sin is death, physical death, spiritual death. Sin is what separates us from God. And what is that little red lettering there? What have I written down in the margin of my Bible? It says, go to Rome. And that's how you go through the whole Roman road with someone. And I'm telling you, you can lead someone to Jesus Christ if you'll just take a few moments and write that down in your Bible. It's just flipping the pages, going to what the material we gave you. Amen, amen. Number three, write this down. Number three, share the ABCD plan. If you're not good with numbers, maybe you're good with letters. How many of you play Words with Friends? How many play Words with Friends? Raise your hand. How many of you play Wordle? Raise your hand if you play Wordle. Somebody, how many of you don't know what Wordle is? Oh, you got to get out from underneath that rock. It's a word game. So you just remember A, B, C, D, and you write that down as quickly as you can. And again, you can do the same thing that you do with the Roman Road, but you start with Romans 3:23, and then you say, go to John 3:16. And you just write it down in the margins of your Bible. You've got to get people to admit, first of all, that they are a sinner, Romans 3:23. Then they've got to believe, that's the B word, and John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So you explain that. Then you take him over there to confession, where you have to confess, and we talked about this last week, so I'm not going into it in depth here today. But you've got to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And then the letter D, declare your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection by being baptized into Jesus Christ. So I'm just giving you these different methods, all right? You can share your personal testimony. You can take people through the Roman road. You can take them through the ABCD plan. Or write this down. You can take them through this workbook, this baptism workbook. It's really why I put this together and why we gave this to you. Not just so that you could learn it, but that you have something to take people through. Last weekend, we covered chapter 4. Now, for all you people who are new here today, do not write all this down now because I'm getting ready to go to the next slide and you're going to be frustrated. But you can go back to last week's sermon on our website, liftupjesus.com, and you can watch it. And I just want you to know that this is the method that I use. That's why last week I was doing all that. I don't need any notes. I had a few things I wanted to remember to share, but I can do that whole board without thinking about it because I've been doing it since I was in college. And what I do is I just say, hey, you got some time we can meet? You don't mind? What time? You want me coming over? And then I get to your house, or we meet for coffee, but if I go to your house, I go, hey, I go, you have any paper? What? You have paper? Yeah, I go get it. So I go get paper. Says, do you have a pen? Yeah, go get a pen. And I said, do you have a Bible? Well, somewhere, I said, go find it. So I want them to use their paper, their pen, and their Bible. Now, if they don't have a Bible, I got mine with me. But we sit down, and the first thing I do is I get their paper, and I draw that ladder, those five things. And then I do exactly with that person what I showed you last week. If we go to the next slide, I fill that puppy in. And I start down there, five things, how to get out of hell, make sure you're not going to hell, make sure you're going to heaven. And we start down there with the word belief, and we look up John 3:16, and here's what I do. I take that scripture and I turn their Bible around and I face it towards them. And for the first time in their life, they're actually holding a Bible and I ask them, tell me what that says. And they read it in their house on their piece of paper with their pen, their Bible, their table, and they're going, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son to whosoever believe. Oh, stop, believe, let me write that down. So I write in the word belief there. And I go, keep going. And they go, shall not perish. And I hit the hell thing there. And they shall have what? Everlasting life. I tap on heaven up there. I said, so you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Number two, then we go to repentance. Then we go to confession. Then we go to baptism. Then we go on to be faithful. Now, when I'm all done with that, I give them the paper. And I say to them, when you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ, you let me know. Now, I got to say something here, and some of you are going to be offended by this, and I understand some of you just get offended easily. But I've seen this many, many times. How many of you would like to be saved? Raise your hand right now. If you want to be saved, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Oh, God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. You're saved. You're saved. God bless you. I see a hand. God bless you. I see you're saved. You're saved. God bless you. God bless you. I want you to know that is not found in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible, I challenge you, show me a scripture in the Bible where the preacher said, if you'd like to be saved, raise your hand. And he says, God bless you, you're saved. That is nowhere to be found in the Bible, to raise a hand to be saved. It's not in there. It's also not in there, and I don't want to offend you, but I'm just being truthful with you today. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, how many of you'd like to be saved? Raise your hand. Okay, repeat after me these words. Dear Jesus, my name is Betty. I'd like to be saved. I turn to you. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. There is not a single example in all of Scripture where anybody repeated a prayer to be saved. It's not in there. It's not in there. Now, is someone saved that they repeat a prayer? I mean, again, God knows when faith hits grace, all right? And if that's the method you choose, that's the method you choose. I'm just telling you that nowhere in the Bible did someone raise a hand to be saved, and nowhere in the Bible did somebody repeat someone else's prayer to be saved. That's not in the Bible. But what the Bible does have, it talks about believing to be saved. It talks about repenting and you won't perish. It talks about confessing Jesus as Lord and you will be saved. It talks about being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's all in the Bible. So what I do, what I like to do is I go through that latter process, chapter 4 of that book, and then I get up and I just give them the paper and I go, hey, it's up to you now. I've done my part. I've shared the gospel with you. Now, when you're ready, let's go down to church. We'll baptize you. We'll go in your swimming pool. You let me know when you're ready to make that decision. It's kind of like the guy, this is the only service I'm telling this to because I haven't had time in the others because you guys are cool. But the guy, he wants to get saved, and the guy, he goes, come with me. Come, you want to get saved? Yeah, I want to get saved. All right, come with me. We got to go up this mountain. They start walking up this mountain. And the guy's getting tired. He goes, hey, when are we going to get saved? Well, it's up this mountain. Let's go. So they kept walking. The guy says, hey, how much further? We got to walk. I go, hey, you said you wanted to get saved, right? Yeah, well, we got to walk. He kept walking. Finally, the guy says, hey, I want to get saved. And he goes, this is the place. It's got to be your decision. It can't be me leading you and I'm going to make the decision for you. Hey, repeat this prayer after me. No, you have to decide. You have to decide that it's time for me to give my life to Jesus Christ, to put my faith and trust in him, to turn, repent, to turn, give him my life, make him my Lord, be baptized into his name. That's your decision, amen? So I get up and I just give that paper to whoever I'm talking to. I go, hey, you let me know when you're ready and we'll do it. And it's up to them. Do you understand that? Number 5, write this down. You gotta share your best, whatever method works for you. I've given you 4. There's many more. But you got to come up with a way to share Jesus with people. Amen? Okay. How many of you glad you came to church? Okay. Page 29. Turn the page real quick. You got to learn how to ask questions. You have to learn how to ask questions. Do you have a church home? Do you go to church? If I'm out riding my bikes and I'm with somebody, I say, hey, do you go to church anywhere? We're riding our bikes. They look at me like I'm half crazy. Now, usually I say to people, do you go to church? And they always say, yeah, I go to church, which means they went 3 years ago on Easter because their parents said, we're going to go to church and go out and eat afterwards. My second question is, you say you go to church. Everybody says they go to church. If I go, do you go to church? They go, yeah, I go to church. I go, what's the name of your minister? And 9 times out of 10, they do not know the name of their minister. They say they go to church, but they don't even know the name of their minister. They don't go to church. My name is Dudley. Dudley. If somebody asks you to go to church, you say, yes. What's your preacher? You say, Dudley. And then you just ask, are you a person of faith? Or would you like to join our life group? Would you like to start a Bible study? Do you own a Bible? How about this question? Hey, when was the last time you read your Bible? Look at number 8. If you died today, do you think you'd go to heaven? If God asked you why he should let you in, what would you tell him? Number 10 there, would you like to go to church with me? Now, my dad, he died 2 years ago, March 15th, 2 years ago, right when COVID hit. He He was 87 years of age. My dad never stayed home. Every day of his life, he was up, out, and about. And every single day of his life, he asked people, hey, come to church with me. He invited someone every day. Now, that is not the gospel. You can't just say, hey, come to church. That's not the gospel. However, it's a good question to ask, because if you can get them to come, maybe they will come and they'll look around and see, who are all these people? And they all look interested. They're all singing these songs. Huh, looks like they're worshiping. I've never seen this. These are not like the people I know. These people are strange. You know, that music's pretty good. They might start listening, start tapping their toe. I like this. And then some guy gets up and starts preaching, and they start to actually learn something from the Word of God, and the Word of God never returns void, and eventually it leads them to being saved simply because you ask them to come to church. However, asking someone to come to church is not sharing the gospel. But learning to ask questions is what helps you to develop relationships to share the gospel. And then just be a seed planter. Go to that last page. Pray for 5 people. You can pray. Get you a list and just put it on the mirror when you're getting ready and you're brushing your teeth. And just look at those names. And say a prayer for them. Lord, help him. That's my boss right there. Help him to come to know Christ. And you start doing your hair. Hairspray. Not me, sir, just other people. And you just pray for those 5 people. Invite someone to church every day. Write notes of encouragement. Give someone a Bible. Share your bulletin. Use your social media to honor Christ. If I see one more picture of some girl in her rear, like these girls, they take pictures of their rear and they put it on Instagram. Like, what? Nobody wants to see that. Let me say it again. No one wants to see your rear. Nobody. Nobody. This is what your life is down to on this earth. There's all that's going on. People are going to heaven or hell, and you got to take a picture of your rear and post it on Instagram like, we want to see that. No, thank you. Or we get a big beer. This is me drinking a beer. This is me and the beer. You and the beer. Beer, me. Me, the beer. Drink. I drink. This is me. This is my whole life. Me and the beer. Nobody cares. You have this incredible opportunity to have this thing called technology, where the whole world is caught up in doing the wrong thing, and God has given you this platform to use that platform to honor Jesus Christ and to point people to Him. That's what you ought to be using social media for, not yourself, but for Him. Are you all gonna come back? All right, let's stand and pray. We gotta get out of here. Let's pray. I could go on. I got to get out of here. Let's pray. No, it's people want me. Some people want me to preach. Jesus. You're not in the nursery taking care of 30 kids right now. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for just this series, these 5 weeks. And God, I mean, we baptized people last night. And this last service, we baptized 6 more people. And I'm sure we'll baptize people today. That you just come up to these doors over by the baptistry, and we have people over there. They're waiting. If you're here today and you've never been baptized, just walk right over to these doors by the baptistry, and there are people there waiting for you. But Lord, this city called Los Angeles, is lost. There's not 2 million people, there's 10 million people. And we got more people concerned about things that literally are not worth a hill of beans. When there is this cataclysmic battle that's being fought between heaven and earth, good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness, holiness and unholiness. And here we are, your bride, the bride of Christ. You've called us to be your representatives, your ambassadors to this lost and dying world. And I pray, Father, that you would burden us and burden our hearts and give us compassion to see these people as sheep without a shepherd. And we pray that you would send out workers into this harvest field. Use me, God, use me. And use every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who's here today. Use us to lift up the name and person of Jesus Christ. Because if we have any sense at all, we know that the return of Christ is near. We don't have much time left. Let us busy ourselves with things that truly matter, sharing the gospel, leading people to Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you.